Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Carter Rodriguez, he of the Chase Down Pod and of your nightmares, if you're a fan of of the Lakers and you've seen LeBron James and Lakers troll tweets come across the timeline. Carter, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like my counterpart, Justin Rowan, who unfortunately is not here today, gets most of the heat. But I'd like to think I'm marginally nearly as annoying.
I think, generally speaking, Laker fans find everybody annoying. The entire situation, they find me annoying right now because...
Well, it must be someone else's fault. I'll tell you what, Jack.
Yeah, it has nothing at all to do with Lakers culture. None. The mere idea that it might have something to do with that, it's frankly...
Put on your capes, ladies and gentlemen.
Today's show, we are going to talk about, obviously, we have to start with Tyronn Lue and the dynamic that might be going on there. I've heard some interesting stuff about not just the interview process, but what the Lakers are kind of hoping to saddle Lue with. And why there's some hesitancy on his part. And then from there, there was also the Dave McMenamin, McMenamin.
You nailed it, buddy.
But he had the report yesterday. Now we're recording this on Wednesday evening. Yesterday he had the report about a lack of trust. Pete and I recorded our show before that came out there. Since then, he's kind of sort of walked it back, though not necessarily fully walked it back. He said that it was more situational and less direct reporting. I'm just going to go ahead and roll with it being what it was. So as of right now, though, let's start with the Tyronn Lue thing. Carter, it has to be somewhat notable that there's hesitancy on Tyronn Lue's part, right? Because this seems like it's a team he won championships with. He has the opportunity to coach LeBron again. There may be one or two job openings that open, you know, that become available as this offseason goes along. But as of right now, it seems like a fairly natural fit, and yet there are people close to Lue who are apparently telling him, let's rethink this. Let's think about this a little bit longer.
Is that person that's close to Lue LeBron James?
That was the joke I had with the person who was telling me about this.
Yeah, it's you know, with regards to that, it's pretty concerning because it's not like clown show crazy drama is that foreign to Tyronn Lue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I don't really think that would scare him off unless his first stint with the Cavs was just so draining that he just kind of doesn't have the gas to do it anymore, which, you know, is possible.
Yeah, he had heart problems?
He had like really major health issues that were kind of never all the way understood, or I think it was a bit of a mystery even to his doctors. And it caused him to miss some pretty significant time a year ago. So maybe it is just a fatigue thing, but I mean, it doesn't speak well. Cause like, if you want to look for the perfect coach for this Lakers team, it is someone like Tyronn Lue, who's got championship experience, who's dealt with difficult personalities, who very importantly has LeBron's respect.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all talk about how LeBron doesn't want to be coached, but, you know, Lue famously challenged LeBron at halftime of Game 7 and told him he needed to do more.
Like, take some stones.
which is like honestly, LeBron, like, was playing pretty well, but he wasn't playing insanely well that first half of Game 7. And, like, LeBron, like, took exception to it, but then, you know, kind of reportedly was like, all right, like, maybe, you know, like, here, I can give you more. Yeah. Like, so, like, I think there is that mutual respect where, like, I think there's a impulse as a coach to feel like you can't be critical of LeBron, especially when the rest of the team isn't performing particularly well.
Luke struggled with this.
Yeah, well, it's like he's putting up 28, 8, and 8. It's like, are you really going to start? Like, I know everyone, like, wants LeBron to be held accountable, but when you have so many people doing things wrong, like, it's really hard to just start with LeBron.
Yeah.
But Lou, you know, like with that game seven thing, like there are a lot of guys he probably could ask more of, but he asked more of LeBron. So I don't think he's afraid to do that at all. And, I think he's been a really, really good playoff coach, in every series in which it was even remotely winnable, that he's played in. So like, I mean, other than like just being like anxious about like eating crow with regards to being the Cavs, like he's a perfect candidate for them. But, if he's not interested, I don't know, man.
Well, I want to kind of go back to, there's this idea, there's this tension apparently, and there was a tension over the course of last season, between Jeannie Buss and her circle of sycophants / advisors and, LeBron James camp. And there was this weird, honestly, I still don't understand where it was coming from. I don't understand what message she was trying to throw out there. But Chris Haynes of Yahoo reported that Jeannie apparently let it be known that she wants the Lakers to be a Buss-ran organization. And I think that was in some way, shape, or form a shot across LeBron's bow to say, no, we're still the Lakers, and there is no individual brand bigger than the Lakers. And the irony here, though, is that they don't want to hire Tyronn Lue, or the idea that possibly they don't want to hire Tyronn Lue because they don't want to appear to be kowtowing to LeBron. And yet Lue is one of the few coaches out there, maybe the only coach who could realistically available and could realistically hold LeBron accountable, right? If they go with like a Monty Williams, or if they go with like a Juwan Howard, chances are they're going to get a situation that they just came out of with Luke.
Yeah, man, it's so crazy to like say that you want to be a Buss run organization. It's like it's
well,
that great
paying attention.
Well, you know, what's that the old Tywin Lannister quote that he says to, I think he says it to Joffrey. He says, any king that says he's a king is no king.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong here, because you know, you're the Lakers fan, you're the expert here. I don't really think we talked about it being a Buss run organization when the doctor was alive. It was like Jerry West ran the team.
Right.
Like there's this weird ego involved with the Buss kids that like, yeah, like Jerry Buss like had a big personality and stuff, but it's like I don't feel like he was concerned with like being considered the architect of everything.
Well, it's ironic. There's a lot of irony going on here, but what's what's funny here is that the Lakers aren't really a Buss-ran organization. They're a Kobe-ran organization. That's Kobe's agent who's the GM, who just kind of muscled out Magic Johnson. Right?
I think this is actually really disrespectful of you to Kurt Rambis. It's a Rambis letter. And Kurt Rambis's wife, more specifically.
Team Rambus. It's a Rambus run organization.
Imagine being in the interview room and Jeannie and Rob walk in, and then like, is that Kurt Rambis?
He's wearing some tank top. He just came off the beach. Tyronn Lue sitting there like, I have a fucking championship. What is this guy doing here?
I just like to imagine like that happening. That feels like a thing that like would happen in a Will Ferrell comedy. You know, like when he and John C. Reilly go to interview together.
Yeah,
it's like that's roughly the same territory we're in. Like, is Kurt asking questions? Is he just hanging out, like smoking a joint in the back? What's going on?
He and Rob Pelinka and Kurt Rambis show up wearing matching tuxedos.
and this is our boy Kurt.
Yeah, right. This is the brains behind the organization. Lou's like, okay, yeah, whoever that you're now my new best friend. Whoever told me not to take this job, you're my new best friend. We're going we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I wanted to start there because I want to get to this McMenamin report that he had that was later kind of sort of walked back but explained. I would say it was more explained than walked back. So we're going to get to that here in a second. All right, so we're back here with Carter. Carter, I'm going to outline a situation for you, okay? Let's just say you are the top person, one of, if not the top person in your industry, okay?
I already am, but thank you.
There you go. So the reality, so far we're one for one. But you're the top person in your industry. You go to what was once considered the top opening or the top organization in the industry, but has fallen on some hard times. They're asking you to raise the organization back to its former glory. And the person who convinced you, theoretically speaking, just for the sake of this hypothetical, the person who convinced you to go there and you were really excited to work with, well, that person, without telling a soul, just pieces out midway through your contract there.
Anthony, Nike quit the Lakers.
That's fair. That's fair. But the
continue,
person,
though. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Just for the sake of this hypothetical, because basically, what it comes down to is either you believe that Magic was the reason that LeBron came here, or you're realistic enough to say there was a whole number of reasons, right? And if there were a whole number of reasons, that's a different hypothetical. But for the sake of those who find it the most difficult to see the Lakers as the disaster that they currently are, they're the ones who believe that LeBron came here because he was legitimately interested in specifically becoming a Laker. Right. And if that's the case, if that's what you're rolling with here, if you're going with that line of thinking and then Magic steps away without notifying anybody, isn't that enough? Like that has to be enough for distrust to start to be to kind of rise up in LeBron and the rest of his camp. Right. And so,
yeah, like, when, I mean, he's like, it's not like his bar for like starting to feel uneasy about leadership in any of the orgs he's ever been a part of is that high. And boy, even if it was, the Lakers would be clearing it right now.
Yeah. Well, I think what it comes down to is, you know, again, I don't believe that this is the case. I think LeBron was interested in becoming a Laker for any number of reasons: proximity to his family, a lifestyle for his family, being able to be more hands-on on the off-court projects that he was interested in. And then, you know, I think basketball also played a bit of a factor here. I think he saw an organization that, in theory, he might be able to mold to his preference and be seen as a bit of a savior for. Unfortunately, yeah. He miscalculated how stubborn the Buss siblings and specifically Jeannie would be. But just for the sake of what Dave was reporting yesterday, before he since explained it today, but just for the sake of what Dave was saying, that there is a lack of trust there, that LeBron was blindsided by Magic's departure. And you know, I can completely understand where that's coming from. So when Dave goes out there and explains it today, I saw Laker fans taking it as a victory lap. Like, no, things are great. And LeBron put that Instagram post out there like, that's false. You know, it's not true, whatever his phrasing of it was. And you know, they're taking that as a victory lap. And I'm saying, but the problems are still there.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I think a big part of it is like, I can't help but come back to the fact that LeBron, I think miscalculated is the right word in a lot of ways, which is like, I think both sides kind of had a fundamental misunderstanding of what each was providing to the other.
Yeah.
It was like the buses and leadership almost seemed to want LeBron to lend credibility back to their franchise.
Yeah.
Less than they wanted him to rebuild it.
Yeah.
Because rebuilding it implies a level of control and ownership that they're very uncomfortable giving.
Mm-hmm.
And then LeBron kind of thought, hey, I'm coming to your trash bag of a team the last 8 years, and I'm going to bring legitimacy to them, but that means we're going to do it my way.
Yeah.
So not only are they actively not doing it his way, it appears they're elevating the people who especially don't feel that way. Like they're elevating a Kobe guy. They're elevating Jeannie's goons.
Yeah.
Like they're not like opening up the door like, oh, well, that season was tough. So, you know, maybe we'll give your style a shot, LeBron. It's like, it's almost like they're doubling down. So like, I don't understand how he could feel any other way than like, do you even want me here?
Right.
Am I here just to sell jerseys and like be kind of a face for some new era? Like, because it doesn't even seem like they're that interested in a lot of the parts of LeBron that he has brought his whole career, for better or worse.
Yeah, I mean, we have to take a quick second here. When we come back, there's the million-dollar question that we have to ask. But I completely agree. And if that's what the Lakers wanted from him, you know, I could see that's just a fundamental
problem.
It's a borderline lie, right? That they sold him on, you come here and we can work together and we can
do not seem to want even an equal partner.
Yeah. But that's
which is a real problem, because LeBron doesn't even like being an equal partner. So like it's several steps below away from an optimal solution.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yikes. Yikes. Let's go indeed. To break.
Yeah. On that high note, let's pay a couple bills. So all of this has been, you know, we laid out.
So
yeah, we laid out the foundation of what the hell might be going on with Tyronn Lue. We tried to explain what the hell might be going on behind the scenes between LeBron and the Lakers, and specifically Jeannie Buss. We laid out the misunderstanding that you outlined, and I completely agree with. So all that begs the question. At what point does LeBron, because McMenamin actually went so far as to say, like, eventually he's going to look in the mirror and say, all right, man, I got to cut my losses. Do you think it ever gets to that point?
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but when LeBron signed with the Lakers, most Cavs fans, I would argue, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but most Cavs fans took it fairly well, right? Like the leaving part, right?
Yeah.
This time around,
the leaving to last time. I don't think they were thrilled that he was going to the Lakers specifically.
Well, yes, but if you'll remember, there was one thing that really, really stuck in their craw, including mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the 3+1.
Yeah.
We got 1+1 to death, where the organization just couldn't make any long-term moves, and LeBron kind of always had this escape hatch available to him, where the second Dan Gilbert and management and coaching wasn't doing what he liked, he could say, well, I'm leaving if you don't fix this.
Right.
And then with the Lakers, just with no track record of organizational health, he just gave them 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Cavs fans were like kind of hurt by that, because it's like, oh, well, now the Lakers can't like have this luxury that he never afforded the Cavs the second time around. And whether the Cavs deserved it the second time around is kind of immaterial. It was like, well, the Lakers didn't deserve it. So like, I think that was actually like the majority of the salt coming from Cavs fans. And then, of course, you know, the victory lap tour from Magic that, you know, obviously raised ire. But to that end, you know, what do you mean explore your options and look in the mirror? You're stuck.
Well,
how do you like Anthony? He can't just demand a trade. He's not Anthony Davis. He's LeBron. He's like so many tiers of important bigger than that. He can't just say, send me where they'll take me.
You know what I mean?
Like,
I don't even know what he would get.
There's no route here. Unless he forced his way back to the Cavs or Heat somehow, where it's like at least he's played there, like there's a really kind of gross, like, you know, like we of course, like me and you, I would like to think we're fairly enlightened in the, you know, the player agency era, and mm-hmm. you know, players can do what they want. You can't tell me there's not just a little stink when a guy hops five teams in a row at the end of his career.
Yeah.
You know, like the way Shaq ended his career didn't
yep.
sit quite right for a guy of his stature. And, you know, like even if a good team trades for LeBron, like let's say the Rockets trade for LeBron or something, you know, like someone who a team with some pedigree that is well run, it still just doesn't feel quite right for LeBron at this stage of his career. And that's why that 3+1 is so ugly. Like, and honestly, that's why you can't just make a decision to go to a team that doesn't deserve you, because yeah. you know, like, I just think he's stuck, dude. Because demanding a trade is too messy and he's getting too much term on his contract to wait it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I for sure don't think he would ever outright demand a trade to get me out of here, right? Because because that would inherently involve him. Yeah, it would inherently mean failure, and it would mean that he was wrong to think that he could fix the Lakers, right? And I don't think he's really there yet to admit that he's ready to admit that he's wrong. But that said, we do know how Rich Paul operates, right? And if he just kind of, if he does a little bit of canvassing around the league and he says, you know what, let's just say hypothetically, not that he wants a trade. He by all means is committed to the Lakers, but let's just say hypothetically he hit the open market. What would it fetch, right? What would LeBron fetch? And he goes back to Jeannie Buss and says, look, you were reportedly ready to trade him after the Anthony Davis fiasco, which to me, I can't believe they ever let that hit the public. That bit of information.
Failure of an organization, man.
It's unbelievable. But Rich Paul can go to Jeannie Buss and say, look, you were willing to let that bit of information hit the public. Here's what LeBron would get you. Here's the teams that are willing to work with you, depending on the type of package that you're looking for. Do you want to hand over the keys to Pelinka and say, all right, a complete rebuild? Then okay. Then, you know, we can attach a bad contract to LeBron too, and you can have the books cleared. Do you want to try to remain as competitive as you can, as a team can be after trading LeBron, then okay, here's these couple teams that are willing to offer this. Do you want an all-star? Okay, here's Team X that has a contract, has an all-star on a contract that they're dubious of moving forward, right? And he lays out those options to her. I don't know if I would be utterly flabbergasted, shocked beyond belief if we reach that point, because again, Anthony, I think both these sides don't understand how the other side, or didn't understand how the other side worked going into this.
Anthony, can I stop you here?
Oh God.
This reads like silver screen and roll fan fiction.
It does.
It's not going to happen, buddy. Like, no. It's just not. And here's why. LeBron, I think more than him just being political, more than him being difficult, more than him being amazing, his defining personality trait as a player is being a control ass freak.
Yeah.
This dude tries to play chess while everyone else is playing checkers. He doesn't always succeed, but he always wants to have the power to determine his own destiny. He will never put his power in Rob Pelinka's hands to send him where he will.
I just,
you know what I mean? It's just not going to happen.
But he will either
orchestrate a trade to a place he wants, or he will stay. And I just don't see where he'd want to go. I don't know, man. I just think this has to, I think sometimes when something bad happens, and by the way, this doesn't have to stay bad. And I want to continue to note that, because as hard as we've all come down on the Lakers, it's not that hard to see a path to them being good next year or 2 years from now.
Unfortunately, it doesn't involve that path doesn't usually involve Kurt Rambis, but yeah,
no. But there it's, you know, when we talk about exceptionalism, what it really is margin for error. Like, the Lakers can afford to fuck up a lot. They can afford to fuck up a lot more than smaller teams or less storied teams, and then just survive those fuck ups on their way to something good. But if this is to be, you know, the unmitigated disaster it's been so far, sometimes you just have to sit in it. You can't, like, you don't get this just amicable parting of ways because the incentives don't line up across the board. I don't think you could give me odds that, other than some weird, like, end of contract back deal where it's like kind of how the Cavs did the Heat and Wade a solid by sending him back there. Like, where like maybe he comes back to Cleveland or Miami or something like that. Mm-hmm. And some like kind of like that's really the because to me, those are the only places that LeBron could go that wouldn't be met with like laughter and derision.
Yeah. Yeah, I
because like it's like this warm reunion kind of thing. Other than that, like I don't see it. So, barring that, it just feels like you couldn't offer me good enough odds to assume that he would stick around.
He would get moved. Yeah, no, I would obviously wager a lot more money, a lot more comfortably on him finishing out at least the 3 years. And then, you know, potentially opting out for that fourth one, as scene one in Space Jam 2. but like, I'll put it like this. So we talked about the player agency and in a lot of ways, LeBron has championed this and minority agency and minorities, grabbing power in ways that they haven't and the impact LeBron has had on that. And then while he's watched this, while he's had a front row seat to this, Magic Johnson, who is one of the most powerful minority businessmen that America has ever produced, gets kind of sort of muscled out by a white owner who inherited the team and did nothing to earn her spot there, and a white agent who got his job by proximity to Kobe. Right. And as he's watched all this go on, he's probably sitting there saying, like, all right, what spectacular character traits do these people offer that I can actually trust moving forward? And yeah. And the only person that he might have seen that with might have been Magic Johnson. And I think that's why we got that report from McMenamin that we did the other day. That it was he saw that and he was blindsided so thoroughly by it that he said, Wait, I'm stuck with these people now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak for LeBron and like how he feels about like any of those dynamics. And I will say, like, I think Russillo said it on a recent pod with Simmons, like, yeah, like even if he doesn't like Jeannie Buss or doesn't respect Jeannie Buss, like if he sees something that makes it worth his while, he'll stomach that kind of thing. Like, I mean, he stomached Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
I've never gotten any impression that things ever got more than business courtesy between those two, even after they won a title. But you have to give him something to see, you know, like, to me, the Magic thing, it just never felt like that was the actual reason. Maybe I'm reading too much into my own biases, and maybe that did matter for LeBron more than I think it did. But like, I just think like when you're a clown show, LeBron's going to lose faith. It's not just that Magic left. It's that Magic left in hilarious fashion.
Yeah.
And anytime your president of basketball operations just leaves in this ridiculous, messy, unstructured way, you know, and you have, you hear Rick Bucher talking about
the email thing,
Genie CCing Magic onto shit talk about Magic. Like, it's like, you know, this team is just such a mess. And like, what's so funny about it to me, dude, is like the Anthony Davis debacle might have revealed some toxicity and lack of structure. But beyond that, almost none of it has had even anything to do with LeBron. It's so weird. LeBron is a bystander to drama for the first time in his whole career.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's actually one of the things that Pete and I have talked about on the last few shows is, hey, it's this bad and we haven't seen LeBron get involved yet.
It's nuts, dude. Like, normally, like, because he's always been involved with drama and it's always been around him because, you know, he's LeBron. That's just part of the deal you get with him. And it's a deal that, you know, I've always made the case is well worth it. But like, yeah, he's not even really involved. It's like, hey, LeBron, what do you think about all this shit going on with your team?
It's like, Cancun's great right now.
He has to be like, it's not great, I guess. I don't know. Like, right. It's just this weird. I mean, maybe, you know, like, it's almost good for you that he's like, if he is discontented, because at least he means he's not fully in fucking retirement mode.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't know. I know that's like the worst silver linings I could give you, but
no, I think it's a good one. Because the opposite of love isn't apathy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The antithesis of love or the antithesis of commitment is I don't even know what it would be, but it's at least he's invested enough to
give a
to
shit,
have like, yeah to have somebody in his camp willing to because look I'll just it's not exactly hard to hear how uncomfortable LeBron or Magic was or Genie is or other people. Like right now the Lakers organization is split in two, and that's not even involved. One of those camps isn't even LeBron. LeBron's just kind of sitting out there on the peripheries, and the Lakers organization is split between like Jesse and Joey Buss and Genie Buss and like Lando Rambis and that group. Ugh. And you just kind of, you know, it's not difficult to see why it would be, why LeBron would be uncomfortable, but it's also not all that hard to find people who are willing to go out there and say, yeah, LeBron's not all that thrilled about the way things are going out here.
But like, you know, what's so funny about that is like, wouldn't you be more bothered if he was like, things are good?
Yeah, I would be.
No, things are terrible. And everyone knows they're terrible. Like, like I, you know,
they passed it's up on funny. Bob Myers to keep Rob Pelinka. If LeBron isn't upset about that, then like he doesn't care at all.
Yeah, it's just, dude, I don't know, man. You know, and maybe like exceptionalism just wins the day. But like I was tweeting about this fairly recently, like we always talk about Lakers exceptionalism in this vein of like, you know, oh, we think we're going to get all the free agents. Yeah. And like, sure, that is like a part of Lakers exceptionalism. But like the real like odious exceptionalism is we don't have to do things right.
Yeah.
To succeed.
Exactly.
And that is so much worse than we think we're going to get LaMarcus Aldridge when Adam Levine posts a backwards jersey pick. You know, it's we don't have to work hard. We don't have to have a president of basketball operations who is scouting and coming up with and is making a plan based on just watching last year's playoff games. It's this and that kind of stuff that rots your whole organization. And it clearly is at the very, very top because Jeannie is drinking that Kool-Aid, drinking her own family's Kool-Aid about what it takes to be successful. And I don't know, man, maybe the league just got too smart around them.
Oh, it absolutely did.
But they're not. And again, exceptionalism playing positively for them is they're still not that far away.
Yeah.
But it feels much further than they are.
Yeah, I do think eventually it's going to take LeBron taking a hands-on approach and saying, you guys, what the hell is going on here? You know? And whenever that happens, whenever he's willing to go that far, then I think things will start to turn around. But until then, you have to, like right now, the hopes and prayers on maybe Pelinka was just being held back by Magic. And maybe Genie really has this eye for executive talent and doubled down on her commitment to Rob Pelinka because she really believes in what he can be. That those are the things that Laker fans have to hope for. But honestly, I really do think that if this is actually going to turn around, it's going to be because LeBron kind of steps back in and says, all right, I've played good soldier to this point. I want Tyronn Lue. I want some say on personnel, and we can work together. We can be the partnership that we thought or that I thought we were going to be signing up for, and we can move forward that way. But until that really happens, I just don't see enough to really assign hope to.
Yeah, well, first part of fixing your culture is to admit that you've got a problem with your culture.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no indication that they currently feel that way.
Makes me nervous, man.
Yep. I again would like to be more positive than I'm being. And no, you know, I hate to be a prisoner of the moment, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Carter, thank you very much for hopping on. You can listen to him and, as he alluded to, Justin Rowan. They do the Chase Down pod. You can follow him on Twitter at @Carter_Shade. It's one of the better ats out there. It's a really good one. But thanks for hopping on, man. And yeah, it should be a fun summer. I think it'll be a fun summer.
Probably more fun for me.
Fair.
Zion, baby. All right. Thanks for having me on, bud.